266 DR Waukesha. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Stacey Lynn. Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says an invasion of Rafah is close. He wants to send ground forces in to destroy the remaining Hamas fighters. CBS's Deborah Pata is in Jerusalem.
Some family members of hostages are furious. They've waited for over 4 months for a deal and to see the remaining 100 hostages come home. They're terrified, as many have told us, that their loved ones could be killed in the bombing, with one hostage saying, if Netanyahu continues talking about eliminating Hamas, there will no longer be any hostages left to save.
The White House is not happy with the characterization of President Biden's memory in a new special counsel report on the mishandling of classified documents. Here's CBS's Bradley Blackburn.
The report from Special Counsel Robert Hur, a Republican and one-time Trump appointee, referred to Biden's memory multiple times, saying it was significantly limited and appeared hazy. It claimed he had diminished faculties in advancing age and was a well-meaning elderly man with a poor memory.
As far as the documents case itself, the report did not recommend criminal charges against the president. CBS's Manuel Bohorquez is in Fort Lauderdale with the latest on a private plane that crashed on an interstate, killing two people.
We've learned that it was just 3 miles from the runway where it was trying to land in the Naples area. But also a short time ago, the NTSB sent a longer statement about what's going on. They say they do have one investigator already on the ground, but more will arrive. They'll be looking at flight track data, recordings of air traffic control communications and aircraft maintenance records, of course, also interviewing any survivors and witnesses on the ground.
Off to New Orleans now, where people are getting ready for Fat Tuesday next week. Bill Reinhardt traveled from Colorado.
Spring breaks don't happen anymore at 65, but it's close.
A lot of pre-gaming going on for the Super Bowl tomorrow, and maybe you're traveling to Vegas but didn't get tickets to the actual game. Our Jamie Yukas tells us there is so much going on.
Hundreds of parties are scheduled from the Strip to downtown. General admission to most parties is $70 to $200. But if you want any extras, like a private cabana at Circa, those are going for $15,000.
Those are individually negotiated. And what's crazy about it is all these cabanas, effectively, they were sold out, you know, about 10 months ago.
That's Circa owner Derek Stevens. Clearly, most of us don't have deep pockets like that, and we'll be watching the big game from the comfort of our or someone else's couch on CBS. And this is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. It's tax season again. Qualifying seniors in Wisconsin who'd like some help filing their returns are getting help for free. Mike Moan reports.
Many Wisconsinites have received their income documents for filing taxes. AARP has its tax aid sites open around the state. The organization says 650 volunteers completed more than 23,000 returns for Wisconsin residents last year. AARP's Darren Wisniewski says the program can help people with limited resources avoid overpaying or turning to tax prep services they can't afford. He says the no-cost assistance might make a refund stretch a little further.
Even a modest refund for somebody who's, you know, living on Social Security can go a long way to helping alleviate some of the financial stress that they might be under.
The volunteers are trained and IRS certified to ensure they're caught up on the latest changes to the tax code. A list of Wisconsin sites or ways to receive help online is available through the AARP website. Wisniewski says the virtual help carried out by volunteers is pretty expansive.
They've also been able to knock it down to one visit scan so that you just come once, give your documents, and then complete everything electronically online after that, going right over to just providing online coaching.
As for in-person help, AARP's website lists 120 tax prep sites for Wisconsin this year. Most of them are senior and community centers as well as public libraries. The organization says you don't have to be a member to receive the assistance. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Hey everybody, it's Todd Allball. Noon to 3 on Monday, we have a cure for your Monday blues and also a look back at what happened over the weekend. Join us on the Civic Media Radio Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny with highs in the upper 30s to near 40 degrees. Partly cloudy tonight, 28. Sunshine and 39 on your Sunday. Mostly clear Sunday night with a low of 28 degrees. Sunny 42 for Monday and near 40 with a few clouds on Tuesday.
Right now, it's 28.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
February 10th, 2024.
If it's 8 o'clock on Saturday morning, it's still time for This Week in Waukesha Hour Two. I'm your host, Downtown Donnie Brown. Johnny's on the board, and James Centel has just entered the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown, our resident counsel, and he'll be here in the second half of this hour to talk about the latest legal issues and also get to know our guest Eli Fields better. And Mary Jane is also here on the third mic. So always great to see Mary Jane Sanchez. And thanks both to her son, Antonio, for calling in. So, but we got some university business to take care of. The Carroll Minute is 2 minutes today. And first, a big shout out to Carroll junior guard Olivia Ranhell, becoming the 17th player in program history to record 1,000 career points. That was after scoring 28 points in the Pios 79-59 victory over neighboring Carthage. Not this last Wednesday, but the Wednesday before, January 31st. And Natalie Grishas added 22 points as the 20th-ranked Pioneers advanced. At that point, they were 16-4, 9-2 in the CCIW. She was also named CCIW Student Athlete of the Week for the third time this season. So congrats to Olivia. She came on the show with Coach Schultz a few weeks back, and it was really great to finally meet her in person. Fine young woman, great career, and she's only a junior too. And they're thinking she's gonna make All American this year. This past Wednesday, the Carroll men's basketball team lost a heartbreaker to Wheaton, 78-71, at the King Arena down in Wheaton, Illinois. Justin Steinicke led all Pios with 16 points. The men Pios are now 13-9, 6-7 in the CCIW. But the women's team, having a great year, avenged the men's loss by beating their Wheaton counterparts, 83-39. Here at the Van Male, or we should call the Van Female, because it's become the hardest arena for women's basketball maybe in the country to play if you're a visiting team. Natalie Grishas and I hope I get the name right here. Natalie Paulskill led all Pios with 16 points each, followed by 11 points from guess who? Olivia Ranhell. They also beat North Park 92-58 prior to that. Grishas led all scorers in that game with 24, and Ranhell had 23. Pio women's team is now 18-4, 11-2 in the CCIW. And if you do get a chance before the season ends, check out the Pioneer women's team at Van Mail. Check out the men's team too, because they're doing some great stuff. Developing a winning season here, maybe the first in a few years for basketball. So, and then a final big shout out to the Carroll swimming and diving swimming team. The College Swimming and Diving Coaches Association of America proudly announced that the selection of the Scholar All-American team for the fall semester 2023, that was on Monday, for both Carroll men's and women's swim team, earning a spot on the list. In all, there were 783 teams from 461 institutions on the list, representing a total of 18,716 students. So big congrats. Both Carroll teams are coached by Guy Nitzinski. And the Pioneer men's team, consisting of 9 members, finished the fall semester with a grade point average of 3.2, while the 17-person Carroll women's team came in at 3.18. So, again, congrats to all the great things going on at Carroll Athletics. And so back with, I know Rocker's going to be calling in about 4 minutes, but back here with Eli Fields and Mary Jane Sanchez. Where did we leave off? I know we were talking about some of your fitness pursuits, but you said your focus is much more music.
Yeah. I just found myself, like, you know, I think one of the biggest lessons, like, throughout the years has just been, you know, I've been trying to do so many things. Like, after graduation, and at Madison, I actually switched majors from real estate and finance to film communications with a film emphasis. So after graduation, wanted to move out to L.A., hit the audition scene and become a star. Like, and then, you know, with the COVID and everything, you know, plans shifted, and then came back here. And then before I moved to Chicago too, wanted, you know, I was like, I'll go back to L.A., New York, Miami, so many plans. So I think, yeah, one of the biggest life lessons I've learned after graduation is just trying to have some tunnel vision, making a plan and sticking to it. And just, yeah, having, you know, having one goal, a definite chief aim, and making it happen.
And perhaps you can do it all right here in Waukesha too.
Right. Yeah. It starts locally. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
That's fantastic. Yeah. I had a filmmaker from New York who I know, I've been trying to introduce him to Antonio, Davis Brown, nephew of mine. He had a great release last year called Capsules, great little sci-fi movie. Great, you know, very ambitious first start, and had a great cast. Has working on another movie that's coming out too, but I told him he's got to come make a movie in Waukesha, because downtown, with all the history we have here, there's a great setting for a movie on location here. And I imagine it'd be pretty affordable too compared to other places to make a movie. But, like, especially like a historic piece from the Springs era, or a sci-fi thing here. You know, we have a UFO history here as well. And
yeah.
So, and a ghost heritage too. So we've had Josh Hughes on the show twice, who gives ghost tours. So okay. I got to reconnect with him. So, and, hey, it looks like I have a moment before Rocker calls. I want to call out a couple more, students who committed on. Actually, no, let's put a pin in that. Last Tuesday night, a litany of Waukesha South alumni, especially from the 90s, and even before that, generations of Waukesha South alumnus showed up for a very special occasion. And that was the retirement of Julian Swartz's jersey number 42. Very special occasion. Julian, the 1999 Associated Press Player of the Year in Wisconsin for high school basketball. And then in his freshman year at UW-Madison, the Badgers, was a seventh or eighth man on Dick Bennett's team that went all the way to the Final Four before losing to eventual champions Michigan State, led by the Flintstones and Mateen Cleaves. That amazing team. And so, already an amazing story. And then Julian overcame some hurdles relating to behavioral health, and then finished his collegiate and basketball career at Carroll, and then got some got a couple degrees in counseling. And he's done counseling, especially for mental health patients, but also coaching. He continued his basketball coaching career. Great Division I stints as an assistant at Memphis, and then most recently at Georgia Tech. Came back home for a year to spend time with family, but still continues to consult for different teams. And a lot of people believe he'll be back in the Division I coaching ranks next season. Some have told me that Julian had a big role in Tyron Cook's recruitment to VMI, Virginia Military Institute, where Tyron's having an amazing freshman year and putting a lot of points on the board, much like he did at South. And so it was really great to see Julian honored by so many, especially his nephew Morgan, a junior on the basketball team, and a very, very close relationship with his uncle Julian. And he got to do the kind of the speech or the presentation, and that was just wonderful. And then seeing that jersey fall, Billy Swartz, Julian's older brother and the soccer coach, and Bo Richter, former coach, right, Eli?
Yeah, I had Julian as well. He was my eighth grade coach.
Julian was your eighth grade coach. Yep. Wow.
Basketball, neat. Both of them.
So it was neat seeing those guys drop the banner or drop the jersey for everyone to see. And yeah, just a real special, electrifying moment for South, and to see so many people. Like we saw Christine Marks there, whose daughter Meredith was on the show back in December for the SALT program. And then Christine's parents, the Pews, I believe her father went to high school here. So three generations of one family, and they're not the only ones. So we know there's two generations of Sanchez's. So
that's for sure.
So, and many more. Yeah, probably more, right, with your siblings' kids. So, yeah, so congrats to Julian. And like I said, Rocker, I haven't heard from him, so he might be sleeping in. But I guess I'll fill in for Rocker. And I know James Santelnik is committed. He'll be on the second half of the show. But I think he's committed to go seeing the Max Sync Radio concert series over at Maddie's. So I think Jim can comment and opine on that as well. But so, yeah, we're going to honor some more seniors that committed on National Signing Day of the famous 15. The next one, another great young man. I didn't get to know him as well, but my son Evan knew him really well. Christopher Lemus, the team's kicker. You look at the size of him, and he looks like he should have been playing on the line or maybe the linebacker spot. Chris will be playing football at Michigan Tech in the fall, all the way up there in Houghton in the UP. Say yeah to the UP, eh? And but really, so that's a great school. And Coach Wilt said about him that his proactive approach to personal and professional development has not only impressed but also inspired, making it a truly rewarding experience to guide him towards his goals as a coach. Coach Wilt says, Chris, you took it upon yourself to improve, which is very difficult for a young adult. I'm looking forward to reading the paper and seeing you with the game-winning kick. Keep working towards your goals, Coach Wilt. So that's great. That's another Division I program, so very excited for Chris Lemus here. And then another favorite who I've known since 7th and 8th grade, an All-State goalkeeper for Coach Schwartz's team, and a basketball player, teammate of my son's, Charlie Morose, will be playing soccer at UW-Eau Claire, the same school my son Evan Stout's going for football. And Coach Schwartz has said about Charlie, Coach Billy Schwartz, an outstanding individual and student-athlete with a cumulative GPA over 4.0. Charlie is also a tremendous goalkeeper and always plays at the highest of levels. He was All-State and Keeper of the Year in the Classic 8 Conference in 2022. UW-Eau Claire is getting a great one in Charlie Morose, and I couldn't agree more. And congrats also to his mom, Sheila, and dad, Christian. Great family, great young man, and really exciting to see more from Charlie. And then another one staying local here, following in his father's footsteps, Brighton Staub, the left-handed relief pitcher, had a great junior year with South, will be playing baseball at Carroll University. Congrats, Brighton, and go Pios. And Coach John Stillman has said, Brighton will certainly be missed by his black shirt teammates and coaches, but our loss is Carroll's gain. Brighton's one of the most coachable athletes I have ever had the pleasure to be around, and he's only going to get better going forward. Best of luck next year and beyond. And got to see Brighton last night. He plays basketball, and they lost a tough one to Ocon. I believe the final score was like 74-63. But it was pretty much a close game until like the last 5 minutes. And kind of got ugly there at the end, too. The Oconomowoc student section was asked to leave and before it got ugly, thankfully. And, you know, it's we'll be glad when all of our teams vacate the Hateful Eight. I mean, the Classic Eight and play against more schools like us. And Johnny's cracking a smile. He also agrees. And so, yeah, we're looking forward to having James Santel in a half hour. He's graced us again with another pastry. He likes to bring cannolis from Glorioso's on Brady Street, but he's given these beautiful eclairs second week in a row, and it's great that I can treat our guest, Jim's wonderful hospitality. And then more about Eli Fields and Black History in Waukesha and Mary Jane and how we're living history in the Shaw. So much to look forward to.
Listening to the Shaw, WAUK.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
You cannot talk about Black history without including some of the early music and art which flourished in the 1920s and 30s. Time now called the Harlem Renaissance. But this new Black cultural identity was growing everywhere. Trumpet player Louis Armstrong moved to Chicago. Painter Henry Tanner was accepted into the Academy of Design. Musician Robert Johnson recorded Delta Blues in Texas. Listen for another Black History story right here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
The Shaw, WAUK. Hey.
Sean, you've been listening to Les Paul and Mary Ford with their classic The World is Waiting for the Sun Rise. I thought it was Sun to Rise, but Sunrise. And according to our man, Corey Hartman, one of our weather guys, that we should be getting some sun here in Waukesha. And if not, for sure, we'll be getting some sunny pancakes when I head over to the Rotary Club's 70th annual Pancake Festival. Whoever thought that a pancake breakfast could turn into a festival that lasts 70 years, a great annual event over at the County Expo Center. And so head on over. It's not too late. A lot of space. A lot of fun people there, including Mayor Sean Riley on the line. You know, Sean's an accomplished barbecue cook, but today he's flipping cakes. So it'll be a really fun day. You're looking forward to being there in master ceremonies. Want to finish up. Two seniors left from National Signing Day. We want to honor Zachary Watson. Zach will be running with the cross-country team at North Texas in the fall. Congrats to Zach. His coach says he's looking forward to Zach's, as Coach Gramdorf, looking forward to Zach's continuing development while participating at the next level. And something Dan Schreier had told me in the halftime discussion that I completely missed was that the cross-country team at South made it to state this year, and that they put out some great, great teams year in and year out. And so congratulations to them. And we'll have to get some of their runners and maybe Coach Gramdorf on the show one of these days this year. And I'm also embarrassed by the fact that I didn't shout them out, because I chased rabbits for a year, my junior year, after I got cut from a football team and I finished seventh in the state. But because the one thing I could do well, my 40 time was like 5.7 at best, but I could run forever, like long distance. And that's so it was a really fun junior year being able to contribute as a starter to a cross country team back home that was also really good. And, you know, it takes a lot, you know, like any other sport, that's a real commitment. I mean, you're running like 13, 14 miles a day in practice, not all at once, of course, but still it's a big, big conditioning. And so we were talking about that because one of the things you like to do is, you said, checking out the boxing gyms, right?
Yeah, yep. I've been keeping up with boxing for quite some time now.
The sweet science.
My favorite sport growing up as a kid, too. A lot of Black history, great sure. boxers that paved the way. Yep. We were talking about Ali earlier, of course, but Jack Johnson, too, amazing yeah. boxing story that people don't know about. That's my favorite story.
Sure. Joe Lewis, too, was another favorite of mine.
Yep, definitely.
So Sugar Ray Leonard. You know, I grew up when boxing was still televised on regular TV, and ABC, Howard Cosell would cover the boxing. And so I saw first Ali fight I saw live that I could remember as a kid was that upset to Leon Spinks. And it was a year after Spinks won the gold at Montreal. But that 1976 Olympic team, Leon Spinks, Michael Spinks, Sugar Ray Leonard, another guy named Howard Johnson had a great career. I believe that was his name. And then I'm missing a couple. A guy named Sugar Ray Seals, too, who was supposed to have a promising professional career. I forgot something. Some things had fell through the cracks. But I think all those guys brought gold back to America. And Leon Spinks' fight was against a guy named an Afro-Cuban named Teofilo Stevenson from Cuba. Probably the greatest fighter in the world at the time. Wanted to fight Ali, but Castro would not let him go. Mm-hmm. It probably would have been the fight of the century because he was really that good. And he was dominating this three-round. There's only three-round fights in the Olympics. He was dominating Spinks, but Spinks didn't give up, and he got in like a right uppercut and knocked him down. And back then, I don't know if it's true anymore, but you get knocked down once in Olympic boxing, it's over. Mm-hmm. And that's how Spinks won the gold. And that perhaps could have been a bigger upset than when he beat Ali, because Ali was kind of, you know, he was a little past his prime in his mid-30s there. But Ali would get his revenge 6 months later, become the first fighter ever to win the title back three times, to win the title three times.
Yeah.
So it was really neat following that that career. I'm still one of these guys. I'm a little bit sore about the Hagler Sugar Ray Leonard fight.
Oh, yeah.
Because the unwritten rule is to beat a champion, you got to knock him down. You can't just win on points.
Yeah, yeah. You gotta win that fight.
And Leonard didn't do that. But when you do watch the fight, years later, now that I'm a little bit I'm less emotionally detached, you watch that fight and you see how Spinks, in many ways, outsmarted Hagler, just like the mechanics and the things. He was definitely frustrating Hagler and intimidating and taking away a lot of things that Hagler excelled at. And then, of course, that fight against Thomas Hitman Hearns, one of my favorite fights.
Yeah, oh, legendary. Like, that third round.
Check that out. Yeah, TikTok will show it all the time. We look for it on YouTube. But, yeah, it was a brawl.
Yeah, that was great. I watched that. And I think
Hearns knocked Hagler down first, right?
Yeah.
And then Hagler came back. I think they knocked each other. It was a back and forth, like lead changing hands, like in a basketball or football game. And usually that doesn't happen very much in boxing. You know, it's like very seldom do guys come back after getting knocked down once.
Yeah.
Unless it's early in the fight. But that was a bloodbath.
Yeah, that was crazy. No, Hagler, yeah, he was one of my favorites too. He was the famous, like his quote was, you know, once because he came out, you know, he was very, you know, in poverty and, you know, blue collar, like very hard, rough upbringing. He was like, you know, it's when people start getting silk robes and sheets, you know, now you're making millions. It's harder to get up at 5 a.m. and get that running and stuff like that. It was a cool lesson, you know, just making it and still having that same hunger and drive, even though you make it in your given craft.
Did you ever see the Spike Lee documentary When We Were Kings? And it was about the Ali Foreman fight in Kinshasa.
Oh, no, I haven't.
Oh, you owe it to yourself. That's amazing. Because Foreman was a different man than he was when he made his comeback in the 90s and the present day. He's a lot more like Ali now, very gregarious character. But back then, he was very kind of withdrawn. Even you could say painfully shy, but it's just a dominant fight. Like he beat Frazier one time. That's when Cosell did that famous, down goes Frazier, down yelling. But Ali, that was a major upset, and that's where he came up with the rope-a-dope. In his training, he had Larry Holmes as a sparring partner, and he just had Holmes beating on his, because all Ali did was just lie against the ropes, covering his face.
Some head movement,
And everyone's like, what is he doing? And basically, he was wearing down Foreman, that by the eighth round, Foreman's, his arms are just so tired, that's when Ali knocked him down. That may have been the biggest upset in all of boxing history.
Yeah.
It was really something, but it's a great... great movie to watch, When We Were Kings. And also, you know, Foreman went into a deep depression after that. But then he grew out, became a minister, got back into boxing, which I thought at first was a hoax. But then watching him fight Holyfield, even though he lost, he really impressed me. Like in his 40s, he won the title back. And that gave me a lot of respect. But also he became this real gregarious, fun-loving character. All his kids are named George, I think.
Shout out to George Foreman. That Foreman grill got me through college.
The grill,
When we had our apartments,
that was another story. He was going to take the quick money, but I think his wife talked him into getting a share of the ownership, and that became even more wealthy because of that. So, but yeah, we had one of those at home too. Those are handy for sure.
Yeah, Sean, especially all these great black shirts going away and playing college sports. You know, get a little Foreman grill for the dorm. You know, try to stay away from the ramen noodles. Sometimes it might get hard, but hey, you gotta, you know, eat right sometimes. And
you got it. So there's one more student to highlight. Looking forward to shouting out Tyler Williams, and then James Santel will be joining us. So much to look forward to here on This Week in Waukesha. We're glad everybody's with us on this beautiful Saturday morning. You heard this song before, right?
Yeah.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem...
keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Israel wants Palestinians to get out of Rafah so they can send ground forces in. This woman, heard through an interpreter, says no.
I don't want to migrate. I want to die in my own country. I want to stay here, and I won't leave here. Let Israel do whatever it wants. I am staying in my tent.
A lot of pushback from the Biden administration on a special counsel report that described the president's memory as poor. White House counsel spokesman Ian Sams.
Former Attorney General Eric Holder said the report, quote, contains way too many gratuitous remarks and is flatly inconsistent with longstanding DOJ traditions.
Witnesses are describing what they saw when a small plane crashed on an interstate near Naples, Florida.
The retaining wall, there was a big hole and burn marks and ash and whatnot, where it looked like the plane had made contact with the wall as well prior to coming to a stop.
CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey Lynn.
The Bucks finally get a win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens. At Super Bowl 58 with sports, the Bucks outplayed the Hornets to a 120-84 win for Milwaukee. Doc Rivers says the Bucks are adapting to his changes on defense.
I thought our defensive execution, I didn't see our guards get picked tonight. Like, they got over picks tonight, you know.
NFL, Jordan Love here at the Super Bowl, making appearances and doing some interviews. I asked him, what was the turning point for the Packers last season?
Man, there are so many things. I don't think you can pinpoint one thing that turned a point in the season. I think it's just a collection of being together through a whole year. Obviously, we had a lot of young guys that haven't been together. So just building that connection every day in the facility. Obviously, we did some things outside of the facility to help grow that bond. But, man, it's just a collection of everything we do as a team, the walkthroughs we do. And everybody's excited to show up to work and find ways to get better.
That's Packers quarterback Jordan Love. From Super Bowl 58 in Las Vegas, I'm Mike Clemens.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny with highs in the upper 30s to near 40 degrees. Partly cloudy tonight, 28. Sunshine and 39 on your Sunday. Mostly clear Sunday night with a low of 28 degrees. Sunny 42 for Monday and near 40 with a few clouds on Tuesday.
Right now, it's 28.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
You cannot talk about Black history without including some of the early music and art which flourished in the 1920s and 30s. Time now called the Harlem Renaissance. But this new Black cultural identity was growing everywhere. Trumpet player Louis Armstrong moved to Chicago. Painter Henry Tanner was accepted into the Academy of Design. Musician Robert Johnson recorded the Delta Blues in Texas. Listen for another Black History story right here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
It's 2024. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you live across the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Jane Matt Nair.
And I'm Greg Bach.
Join us Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to noon as we break down the news and share some laughs along the way.
We're talking to politicians, we're talking to community leaders, and we're talking to anyone who has a story.
And we occasionally get a visit from an umbrella cockatoo. Join us for Matt Nair on Air Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to noon.
Earl Ingram.
My special guest is the curator and founder of Wisconsin's Black Historical Society, none other than Claiborne Benson.
I want people to know that Wisconsin has a beautiful, rich African-American history. Many people think the King celebration and all of those other kinds of things are more important. They occurred in Wisconsin as well, and we've impacted the entire nation.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Your home of The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
turn on and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Zero.
Hey, we're back. This week in Waukesha will not be televised, although next week may be as we become more familiar with the StreamYard. But we love radio. We love being a part of civic media and the civic media mission.
You're here
to really emphasize local news and sports. And before I introduce our next very familiar guest, and again, I'm here with Eli Fields, our original guest, and Johnny on the board, our final student senior to highlight a great young man who I've known since the seventh grade, played basketball with my son and football. Tyler Thrill Williams will be playing football at Concordia St. Paul in the fall. So he'll be down the street from Chris Flowers. And Coach Wiltz has said, coaching you has been a truly enriching experience. Your dedication, receptiveness to feedback, and commitment to personal growth have made our coaching journey exceptionally rewarding. Keep working on the little things on and off the field. This will be an exciting time for you. From Coach Wiltz about Tyler Williams. And again, very excited for Tyler Williams. For his mom, Joanne Williams, who was going to be a guest on the show, but wasn't able to make it. But we hope to have her on soon. She's the Dean of Students over at Waukesha South. But again, very excited for Tyler. And for all the 15, I'm grateful for the opportunity to highlight them again after a big day last Wednesday. And I'm sure this Waukesha South alumnus, Eli Fields from the class of 2016, shares my excitement for these young men and women that are continuing their athletic and academic careers at the next level.
So, yeah, most definitely. Yeah, so, shout out to them.
Yep. So joining us is the host of our the show on after this, Morning Cannolis, James Santel. And, well, Jim, yeah, you have some questions for Eli of interest about his product, about some of the film.
Absolutely.
Interest,
right? Don, good to be with you again, as always, in the company of your wonderful guests this morning. Eli, good to meet you. Good to know you. And
you as well.
You're all about your wonderful accomplishments in life to this point, expecting more. I will tell you, just as a completely unplanned agenda item this morning, that for the past several years, as you probably know, Waukesha South has been a powerhouse, not only on the athletic field, but also in the mock trial field as well.
Right, yeah.
And just this past Saturday, I coach another team, also in Waukesha. And but a week ago today, right down the street here at the Waukesha County Courthouse, Eli, we had the regional competition for about 8 or 9 schools, including Waukesha South, some other schools, Arrowhead, Brookfield Central, the team that I coach for, and pleased to say that both the, I will say immodestly, the team that I was coaching and Waukesha South, your alma mater, going to state in about a month from now. So
and they're defending state champions.
They are this defending state champion. Went up to nationals last year. And so very exciting and great, great legacy, including producing wonderful people like you. So I thought I would note that as well this morning. The legacy continues.
Congrats to Coach Libby Andrews.
Exactly. Know Libby well. Work with her also in the children's court over there in Wauwatosa. So great, great team, great school. And good to have you with us on the program this morning. Eli, I also wanted to follow up on your comment. And you spoke a little bit about this in the previous moments here about your film background, your film interest as well. And I especially wanted to talk about your production interests and where you're going with that. Tell me a little bit more about the history of that and what got you involved in that. And then I'll tell you another anecdote about my own life involving the University of Wisconsin-Madison and the connections of people you probably know. Go ahead and tell me more about what sparked your interest in film as a particular creative piece of artistry out there.
Yeah, definitely. No, I appreciate that. Appreciate the kind words. Likewise. But yeah, it started in college. Like I mentioned, my first 2 years, I was in the business school.
Real estate, you
real
said?
Real estate, right? Finance,
a good
yeah.
thing. We need those real and, estate folks out there.
Yeah.
But, right?
Like Antonio Sanchez.
Right.
I actually wanted to, I was like, you know what? I'm going to go to Wall Street and be an investment banker.
There you go. Good.
Far from it. Right. You know, I'm not good, that good with numbers like and such. And I was taking an elective theater class. Mm. So I never really, same with the music. Like I had never really, like growing up, you know, I liked it, but never thought about it as a passion. Took an elective class. I was taking off finance classes, hop in this theater class, and I'm like, wow, I love acting.
Right.
Like, this is amazing. Like, this is real cool. Right. Like, enjoyed movies as a kid and stuff. So I'm like, Oh, maybe that's what I'm meant to do.
This is something I should explore, right?
Exactly, right. Yeah. So halfway through, switched to communication arts with the emphasis in film. Right. And then, it grew from there. And one of my classes was able to produce a short film called Don't Hate the Player, Hate the Game.
Okay, I was going to say, give us the title, give us the synopsis.
Yeah,
the
very
of this
great
piece.
Timing on Valentine's
Day.
It was, and shout out, my main actor was AJ Taylor. He was the Badgers wide receiver.
Sure, right.
Yeah,
right.
So.
You can recruit right there, right?
It was perfect, and then some lovely ladies from my class as well. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, it was just about a... a man who was caught up in some infidelity, cheating on,
gotta have that controversy, that thing that drives the narrative, right?
Exactly. Yeah, and it ended up costing him. You know, he found the wrong one. He ended up, with a crazy, in a crazy relationship, and she ended up, poisoning him, and his time as a player was cut short, unfortunately.
So it's a light comedy, Eli, right?
I'm joking. A little bit of maybe real life. It was a short comedy film.
Excellent, right? And I take it you had an opportunity to show this to the community, probably at one of the premier events there on the campus, and it's still out there somewhere, I suspect. We could view it if we wanted to, is that right?
It's somewhere on YouTube.
Okay,
yeah. I'm not sure how many views it has, but
I'm sure it's wonderful. I will tell you very briefly my story and my connection with this wonderful, not only university, but the very academic curriculum that you're involved in. Gosh, about 2 years or so ago, I answered responded to a solicitation for adult actors. I mean, people look a little bit older like me, not like you. And I played a sheriff, believe it or not, in a kind of a thriller short film as well. And kind of a twist on the end and all sorts of interesting things, but just had a great appreciation for not only the production. We were filming around campus, but also west of campus. Went out to Mesomany one day about February in the middle of the night, did some filming there and some farmhouses. Great, wonderful production team. Tremendous amount of talent like you among the students who are there, the director, obviously, the technical people, the script folks, the financial people, the spotters for the locations, all those things. It is no small undertaking. It was a great, pleasurable event, and just had a wonderful time. And so, again, a terrific program that you have been involved in, and hopefully we'll continue to do that down the road, I assume, yes?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It's definitely still in my future. I want to, land some roles and get back on that at a certain time. And then I'm eventually working on a screenplay titled Saint for a feature film.
Right.
It's basically the story of my older sister. That's in the, I'm not sure when in the future, but that's definitely in the future.
Yeah. Lots of things on the list.
So you still have a lot of family here in the Shaw, is that correct?
We're kind of all over I have two sisters here. So my older sister, and she, works at Southwest Academy in Milwaukee.
Nice.
And then I have a younger sister here too that is a freshman at West.
Nice.
Freshman at West.
Yeah. Well, we like her anyway, right?
Right.
Yeah. And then two more sisters. They're in Houston. They live in Texas.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
Lots of travel opportunities, then, Eli, right?
There you go.
Can visit out there with them. Great.
Hey, I want to interject one thing real quick. I got a message from Karen Treadwell, the retired executive director of the Food Pantry on Facebook. Wanted to know if I'll be attending the Rotary Club's 70th Annual Pancake Festival. And Karen, not only will I be attending, but I've been asked to MC the event, so you're going to see me with a microphone
very
in my
good.
Hand. Hopefully I'll get some pancakes in first. Still eating breakfast yet. But,
heavy syrup, right?
Thanks
Don?
For thanking me, and great to reconnect with Karen. Karen invited me to a Rotary Club lunch there a couple years ago, and I really enjoyed it. In fact, a young lady from Waukesha South who graduated in class of 2022, voice like an angel, used to sing the national anthem at the basketball games. I'm embarrassed I can't remember her name, but she could really, and she performed at that lunch that day at the Rotary Club, and I'm sure she's pursuing her career. She was a lead in High School Musical.
Ah.
And my hope was that, life imitating art, because it was a South playoff game, she couldn't attend because she had the play in the auditorium, but I was hoping they'd kill the power long enough for her to come over and sing the national anthem, because she could do it without the voice, beautiful voice, and then come back and put the play on, like opposite of what, kind of what happened in the movie, but
right.
It wasn't meant to be. But I remember when she would do the national anthem, and these would be against some of the biggest games maybe in the program's history or recent history, and there were some of the parents next to me like, well, we can go home now, because it was just a stunning version.
That was the event. That was the event.
And
right?
So it's and Rotary Club was sponsoring her and a lot of other great, promising students. So I'm really excited to be a part of the pancake breakfast. So, Let's get back into movies, though.
Absolutely. Well, let me ask Eli also about this creative impulse that you have. You mentioned it in passing very implicitly, this notion that, you know, we can go in different paths in our lives. We all have choices to make along the way, and we can always redefine ourselves along the way, too. We're never done, I'd like to think. You have made a choice, obviously. One of those choices probably would have gotten you a whole lot more money than what you're getting right now, and maybe long term. But I commend you so strongly, and I want to have you comment on that not that trade-off, because it's not really a trade-off at all, but that focus on music, on arts, on theater, and the ways that our lives are animated and inspired by those kinds of things in which you cannot put price tags, right? And again, right. I'm sure you have friends out there who stayed in the business school, who may be in all sorts of cities around the country, but whose lives, again, important in what they do, are not a part of that inspirational messaging that you can do through your music and through your artistry, both on film and in front of the camera, behind the camera. Talk with us a little bit about that focus on creativity and the impact that it can have in changing our world.
Yeah, that's an amazing question. That's an amazing, I think it's about, the biggest thing is taking that leap of faith,
yes,
like you mentioned. Yeah. Like, I mean, and for me, it was like, a lot of times in my life, I'm thinking in terms of how can I create the coolest story ever written? Mm-hmm. Like, everyone, you have a story.
Sure.
Yeah. Don has a story. You know, my second mom, Mary Jane, has a story. Mm-hmm. And it's like,
she's got a lot of stories.
And, you know, yeah, it's about, okay, you know, do I want to go, you know, like you said, the safer, more secure route in something very commonplace, or do I want to go after those creative passions and see how it turns out, and be an inspirational message too, because that was always the ultimate goal, is to be inspiring, be a role model to, you know, my family, inner city kids, and I mean everyone in general, especially from Milwaukee, Waukesha, that may not have those figures in their life that are doing things like that. So that's yeah, really where it stems from.
Right. And you don't know sometimes, you may never know sometimes, the ways in which you change lives by, again, music, by theater, a piece that you put together. It's not always the case that your audience comes up to you and says, Eli, you've changed my life. That doesn't happen every day. But it does in many ways, and inspires people to do things differently in their life. That's the power of art and the kinds of things you're doing.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Likewise for you as well. Yeah, I think it, you know, when you put it into perspective too, that's the biggest thing, is like with these passions, yes, I want the, you know, the big Hollywood feature,
sure,
yes, the chart topping songs, yeah, that get me to the Ferraris, mm-hmm, and the G50s,
right, flying, right, absolutely, flying in the
sky, but you know, on a smaller level, yeah, if someone just hears a song, or hears my story, hears this on the radio, and says, you know what, I'm inspired to do XYZ or follow my, yes, my dream, my passion. Cool, I made it.
That's your paycheck, right, Eli?
Yeah.
That's bigger than money.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And then one day when you are walking the red carpet, the Grammys or the Oscars, that sort of thing, you will certainly bring Don and me along, right?
Yeah.
And it's all,
yeah,
started right here on this morning show, and commend to Don for doing just that. Of course, I'm being facetious here, but
thanks,
really,
thanks,
wonderful, no, for you, yeah, to do that. That's, you're, great.
Yeah. You bet. How are we doing on time there, Johnny? Okay. So, hey, one thing before we continue with Eli and Jim. A reminder that the Melodies for Mary benefit concert is February 24th at the Knucklehead Pub in Eagle. And we had members of the fire department and Candace Strong and the father of this young girl, Mary Schrader, who is battling B-cell acute lymphoblastic leukemia, were on the show to promote this fundraiser. So we encourage you all to join the band Detour. Will be playing, also led by firefighters. And if you're interested in contributing, if you can't make the event, you can call Dan Notling at 262-470-0031 or email D as in Don, A N as in Nancy, N as in Nancy at I A F as in Frank, F as in Frank, 407.org to support Mary Schrader and her family in this battle. So, really looking forward to more stories with Jim Santel and Eli Fields here on This Week in Waukesha on this beautiful Saturday morning.
Like the river I've been around. It's been a long time.
You're listening to The Shaw, W-A-U-K, Waukesha's home for Matt Nair.
Less calories and fat, and oh so delicious. It's what every light bread wants to be. Leave it to the bakers of Village Hearth to have the perfect recipes that pack goodness and flavor into every package while still keeping it trim. With Village Hearth light bread and buns, you can lighten up on the calories and fat without losing out on the great taste. There's simply more to savor and nothing to sacrifice. With our light wheat, light 12 grain, and light Italian bread and buns, there's a light, tasty favorite for everyone in the family. Village Hearth, baking our best for you.
988 Wisconsin Lifeline. How can I help you?
Share hope, find purpose when you become a 988 Wisconsin Lifeline counselor. The 988 Wisconsin Lifeline provides free and confidential support to anyone experiencing a mental health or substance use crisis. Staffed by Family Services, 988 has experienced tremendous growth, and more statewide counselors are needed to answer calls, texts, and chats to the Lifeline. If you want to share hope and find purpose in your next job, apply now. You can work remotely from anywhere in Wisconsin. Training is provided.
This is The Shaw, W-A-U-K.
Back down on my knees. Lord, there have been times that I thought.
Hey, we're back this week in Waukesha. Saturday, February 10th, Black History Month. I'm your host, Don Brown, with Johnny on the board and my two guests. Eli Fields, for the first time, really glad to have this young man who is living Black history here in the Shaw and doing so many amazing things. And then Jim Santel, who you're going to hear a lot more of on morning when his show Morning Cannolis comes on next. But great opportunity for Jim, also a man of the arts, to ask some questions of Eli and to share ideas and opportunities. So, Jim, I'm going to hand the mic over to you.
Absolutely. So, Eli, we were just chatting during the time when listeners were enjoying some of the great music and some of the advertising here. About the, I hesitate to call it randomness because it's not randomness. It's an investment in a future. But the notion that life doesn't always take you down a straight path, especially when it comes to the creative things that you're doing, and that sometimes you invest in, for example, a major feature and you spend some time then doing some music over here and something sparks and takes you not off that path, but in a different direction that also opens up new doors. Talk about, even in your young life, the ways in which that has happened for you and anticipating that happening down the road, that investment, keeping, perhaps to describe it another way, all the cylinders firing at the same time and hoping that one or more, two or three of those, in fact, take you beyond where you are right now.
Yeah, no, you worded it perfectly again. I mean, sometimes it is acts of randomness. Sometimes mm-hmm. it's because you never know how things are going to turn out. Sometimes we can only control what we control. So I think, yeah, the biggest lesson in that is just building up who you are as a character, right? Because we all are, we all are characters. You can kind of tailor your life in a way that you want and how and whatever fits your script. But, you know, there's breaks or, you know, things right, in the right. script that, right, like you said, that, you know, you don't foresee coming. But I think there's always opportunity in that. Certainly. So I think, and that's why I'm here today too. I mean, I was living in Chicago, wanted to live in all these other places. And then, you know, things unfolded, had some family things that happened and I found myself back here, back at home. And yeah, I'm on the radio today. With you and Don being able to share and drop some gems and learn from you guys. And, it's amazing how that works out.
If I could cut in some other local arts, Triple G, Greg Wansnyder, has texted Johnny, and Johnny texted it to me that people should come see the All Shook Up production at Waukesha North High School. For showtimes and other information, go to Waukesha North Star Players on Facebook or Instagram. Tickets are $8. You can purchase them online. The show is this weekend, so thanks for sharing that, Greg. Another great opportunity to see young people in the arts here with All Shook Up.
Right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, and bringing probably their own life experiences to that as well, Eli is indicating too. You mentioned too, Eli, that, you know, it's about your family, those kinds of things do make their way into your art, right? The lyrics and the scripts and the visuality, the visual images of those kinds of things. And that's what makes it human, right? It's not just what you learned academically at this great university, which you graduated from, but also the things you bring to it because of your own life experience, right?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
And your own family and those kinds of things. And people do then look at your product from time to time and say, oh, I remember that incident. It's a little bit different now. We allow you to change it maybe for some narrative purpose. But nonetheless, it does drive the story and it also makes it real, right? Not only for you as the director, the producer, the actor, the screenwriter, but also the people who are promoting this to the community and saying there are some messages here that will ring true in your own lives. Right. Good yep. for you. That's great. Very good. Good. Well, wonderful. This is what a wonderful opportunity here. And again, if Don and I are available at some time to appear in some of your future short films, there've got to be roles for us to play down the road there. And happy to do that. As they say, the young people who are responsible for this short that I was in were really quite remarkable.
Yep.
Right.
That's right. Oh, Johnny got up. Now I was like, what are you doing? Johnny wants the part two. So
okay.
Got to be part of Johnny. Yep.
Exactly. So, right.
He's a great character actor.
Put me in, coach.
Very good.
He may be the Edward G. Robinson of our generation.
Right. Exactly.
We can make it happen.
Exactly. Right.
Or Lee Cobb Jr. I could see an angry Johnny.
Absolutely.
You can throw out all the other
Right. Evidence. Right. Exactly. Right. Well, and it's interesting. Even this short film that I was in, these wonderful students, they had auditioned me for another part. Actually, it was the central role. I won't go into the script and the plot line directly, but they said, you know, Jim, that's fine. We've got a different thought on your look, your presence, and they were absolutely right. And I got this chance to play this law enforcement person. I spent most of my career doing law enforcement on the prosecution side, the civil litigation side, and so got to wear this sheriff's hat and this uniform. And it was an absolutely right decision based upon the vision for what that film was all about. And again, that's a creative aspect that I don't have. I suspect, Eli, you do, to be able to look at people and say, not quite right for that, but I'm going to move this over here and make that happen. And indeed, the entire thing fits together. That patchwork, if you will, that piecing together of the artistic piece, right?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's my favorite part of the creative process is just the piecing together of things like that, whether it be in a song with the words, with the lyrics, you know, and then, films like, you know, what is this? What does this role look like for this person's look?
And sometimes even discarding things, right? I suspect in the film that I did, we filmed some scenes, never made it on the screen, but you recognize it in the end when you get back to post-production, that doesn't really work. Or we've got to move that around, right? And that too, this part of the creative process that I know you've been well-schooled in.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, very good.
Yep.
Good.
Yeah, with the family thing, you know, discarding certain lyrics from my songs.
Exactly.
I know my little sisters my grandmama is listening. And she's,
right. And that may be for other reasons, for the Thanksgiving table, right, to explain why it is that you are or not there, right?
So tragically, we're down to our final 2 minutes. What is it you'd want people from Waukesha to know about Eli Fields and what you're working on that we haven't covered?
Damn, that's an amazing way to end.
You'll agree to come back on again at another date, hopefully.
Of course,
especially now that you're living here.
Definitely. No, I just want to take the time to thank you guys.
Thank you
for the opportunity, for having me. It's a blessing to be able to share my story. And really,
thank you for sharing.
And I you know, I'm appreciative of you know, my time and the way I was raised here. I'm thankful for it. I want to do a lot of amazing things for this city, and I'm gonna continue to work at that. So I definitely want to, you know, keep sharing the process and give back to definitely. So
you got it, Eli Fields. To borrow from James Lipton, the Black Shirt Nation thanks you, and the Waukesha community thanks you. Thank you, Jim Santel, for joining
us.
Morning Cannolis is on next with Jim. Don't forget, my guest next week is County Supervisor Terry Thieme, and then the following week it'll be a special pre-recorded show with Tyree Pope III. As we continue to celebrate Black History Month here in Waukesha. And please remember, on this beautiful Saturday, safety is everyone's responsibility. Good mental health is everyone's right. And being good neighbors is everyone's obligation. Thank you again. We'll see you over at the Rotary Club's 70th Annual Pancake Festival. And see ya!
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
now I guess I'm just rooting for Kansas City because it's more about Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift for me.
It is at this point, and I want to congratulate Taylor Swift for making the Super Bowl in her rookie season. There's not a lot of rookies in the NFL who make it all the way to the big game, but she did, and you know if they win, she's getting a ring.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.